And good morning, First Assembly. How's everybody doing this morning? I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. Adrian asked me how I was doing. Miss Mary asked me how. I said, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord, no matter what we're going through. I had an interesting situation last night. I walked into hell and hugged the enemy, hugged the devil. Can you believe that? I have never done that before. I hugged the enemy. And the really neat thing about that is after I hugged him, he kicked me out of hell. That was pretty cool. I love that. He says, it's time for you to go. The next group's coming in. And I tell you, you guys take advantage of what's going on across the street at the Family Life Center with this Halloween. It's phenomenal what these guys are, the talent and ability and the creativity in this church. Get the word out. Let people know what we're doing. And we just thank the Lord for we've already had people come through and give their hearts to Jesus. I said people have given their hearts to Jesus through Halloween already. Hallelujah. That's what this is all about. This is what we're doing is we're going to reach the lost and let people know that Jesus loves them and that they are called for a purpose greater than themselves and that God has a plan for their lives. And those watching online today, we thank you for joining us. You're a part of our family, and we just appreciate you being a part of what we're doing here this morning. I want you to, over the next few weeks, I want you to go into the Word. I want to look at the Pauline letter to the church in Ephesus. We're going to be looking through Ephesians together as we talk about overcoming the enemy. We are overcomers. Look at your neighbor and say, you're an overcomer. Do you guys believe you're overcomers? In the name of Jesus, no weapon formed against me shall prosper in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Amen? So we are overcomers. We are overcomers. And when we look in the book of Ephesians, we see something that I want you to see this morning. And before I move forward, because people are getting saved, and people who have been saved for a while, maybe you've never been water baptized, or maybe you haven't done that for a while, and you recommitted your life to Christ, and you have a new walk, and you want to be baptized again. I was baptized 3 times in the water, so it don't matter. If you want to get dunked again, you get dunked again. But we're going to have a good time next Sunday. We're planning on having a water baptism outside. We're going to celebrate your water baptism outside, and we've got a tank, and we're going to have, it's going to be a celebration. Immediately following the service, we're going to go out and have water baptism, and then we're going to have some food for you guys for lunch and just want to just celebrate together. So please today, if you'll take one of these cards out at the Life kiosk, fill it out and drop it off with Kirsten or someone there at the desk and let us know that you want to be water baptized. We would love to have the opportunity to do that with you. Stand for the reading of the word of the Lord, if you will. And we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. Let me give you a little bit of backdrop on what's going on here. The Apostle Paul, now the church is under oppression. The Roman oppression, the church is being attacked. The Christians, the followers of Christ, we see Christ is died, he's been resurrected, and now we see this remnant of people who are preaching the gospel, Paul's raising up churches in different parts of Samaria and Jerusalem and in this area, and so we see these churches being come out of these cities, these villages, and then Paul's writing back to encourage them. But now, because of the Roman oppression and things that are happening around them, many people are falling away from the faith. There's difficulty. There's persecution. There's oppression. And many people of the way, everybody say the way, they were followers after Jesus. They're following after the way. Many people that are trying to live that way are saying, you know what? It was easier when we lived the other way. It was easier my life before. I didn't have all this problem. I didn't have this persecution. I didn't have this marginalization in my life. I was part of the community. And many of them are falling away from the faith. And when you read these last part of like Pauline epistles and Pauline letters and Ephesus, the letter to the Ephesians and the church, and we see the book of Revelation where John the Revelator is calling out the 7 churches and he's talking about this church in Ephesus. We see here what Paul is saying to the Christians and those who are following the way. He's saying, don't give up. Stay the course. Stay in. Hold on. Don't stop what you're doing, but have faith in the God that you once trusted in. He's saying, you've got to remember who you are in the faith. Does this kind of ring any recollection of what's going on right now in our world, in our time? People that are falling away from the church. We've had this COVID thing hit and shut the church down. And now we're in this post-COVID or this post-pandemic era where the church is really reinventing itself. And we're telling the world, hey, we're still here. The church is still alive. Is the church still alive, guys? Amen. Amen. The church is still alive, and God wants to use this church in this day and hour to minister to this community. How many know that Rock Hill needs Jesus? The people of this community need to know there's hope in a living God. They need to see a hope in a living God. Many people in the church need to see that there's hope in a living God. And Paul is reminding the church in Ephesus, he's saying, hold on to your faith. Look at who you are. Know who you are. You are more than a conqueror. You are an overcomer. You are the church of the living Lord, Jesus Christ. And he still wants to use the church to be the conduit to bring healing to our day and age. Look with me, if you will. I love what Paul is saying here in chapter 1, verse 3. He says, you guys there, say, praise the Lord. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I love this chapter, verse 4. For he chose us, everybody say, he chose me in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. I want you to underline that or highlight it in your Bible. Be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption. Everybody say adoption. To sonship. Sonship. Hallelujah. Through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood. Everybody say through his blood. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the richness of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, I realize that over these next few moments, there are going to be life matters at hand. And I realize, Lord, when we reach out in a way, in a manner like this, through this message series, God, when I'm going to be dealing with sin and forgiveness and brokenness and healing, Lord, when I'm dealing with sin issues of the heart and things that keep us in bondage, things that want to keep us down, things that want to keep us defeated, we have an enemy of our soul, Lord, but you have given us the victory, Lord, through you, through your blood. And I realize, Lord, when we talk about these matters, Lord, I'm very aware that the enemy of our souls wants to come against that. So, Lord, I pray that you would take the blinders off our eyes. You take the blinders off of our eyes and those muffs off of our ears, Lord. God, that you'd help us to hear and help us to see what your word wants to say to our hearts. Everybody in this room, Lord, I pray that you would arrest our attention. God, get our attention. I pray that you would use, Lord, these lips. Use this vessel, Lord God. Let your Holy Spirit permeate and fill this room right now in the name of Jesus. Would you just pray that with me? God, speak to me today. Give me a word, Lord. Help me to know you in a greater way, Father. Let this word be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give somebody a high five or a fist bump before you're seated. God bless you guys. I want you to get this scripture in your heart in verse 7. And so for the theme scripture for this next series over the next few weeks, I want you to get this word in your heart, verse 7. In him, we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins in accordance with the richness of God's grace. And if you want to parallel that, I've already kind of spoken to that. We're going to also parallel that with Revelation 12, 7 through 11. But the main emphasis there is verse 11. It says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. A sister this morning just gave a testimony. Didn't encourage everyone to hear that testimony. What you're saying is I overcame the enemy in my life. I overcame the enemy that would try to come against me. I overcame him by the word of my testimony. You have power in your testimony. You have authority in your testimony. And so Paul is writing to this community of faith in Ephesus, and he's imploring them. He's practically begging them. He's saying, hold on to your faith. Stay the course. Don't return to your old life. Just because of the persecution and the oppression, you're being ridiculed, you're being not accepted in society, you're being marginalized, and many are falling away from the church, and he's very concerned about his church. And they're saying, but it's easier to go back the way things used to be than to live like this. And so Paul begins to make a plea, and he says, remember who you are in the faith. Remember what God has done for you in the past. Remember what God, how he helped you in that difficult time. Remember how he saved your soul when you needed a Savior. Remember when he forgave you of your sins and you said, Lord, I am nothing without you. You came to Christ in that defining moment and you said, God, I need you. God, I want you to be Lord and Savior of my life. How do you remember having a time like that in your life, a defining moment? A defining moment where you said yes to Jesus. Now, the current climate in America, we all know with really having to say, but the fear and anxiety, the depression meds are at a historical high. Of course, we're still working through COVID, and we have sickness and disease. We have the Afghanistan crisis, the border crisis. We've got refugees. We've got so much stuff going on in our world. We've got economic hardship. We have the homeless population problem. We have the LGBTQ plus agenda. We have the abortion problem in our nation. However, the church is still the instrument that God is using. Hallelujah. He is greater than any of these problems that I just announced. We can see these every day. We can turn the news on and we can spend a lot of time watching the news. But I want to make sure that you're seeing what God has to say about this nation, what God has to say about this world. He is still the author and perfecter of our faith. He is still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is no other God but Him. Hallelujah. He is a living God. He is the hope for this world. And God has ordained the church to be the conduit to bring healing to a fallen humanity, to a broken humanity. He wants to use the church. And who is the church? Look at your neighbor and say, you're the church. You're the church. When we say the church, God wants to use the church. It's not like it's something out there, some other place. It's us. God wants to use you and me. He wants to use the church. The problem, though, is that inside the church, we can't get it right in here. And so if we can't get it right in here, then how can we bring healing to the world that God wants to use? And so, God, we're saying, start with me. God, bring healing to your house. Bring healing to your body so that we might be the conduit that you want to use. Hallelujah. And that it takes a humbling. It takes a realignment. It takes a, Lord, I'm going to focus my attention on you, and I'm going to remember who I am in you, Lord, today. The church has the potential to impact the ills of society with the hope and the love of Jesus. Do y'all believe that? It has the ingredients. It has the creativity. It has the anointing to do the things in this world that only God can do. It has the power to make change in our society. It has the power to influence, to shift, to move a community. It has the power to change a life. The church is in each one of us. It's time for the church to wake up and realize our role in these end times. The church has tremendous responsibility to offer hope for the hopeless, love in the place of hate, forgiveness and belonging. It's time for the church, the people of God, you and I, to rise to the occasion and show others the hope that we have in Jesus. Amen? It's time for the church to be the church. It's time for the Christians to live what we profess. We are on the winning side, and we are the church triumphant, and we are more than conquerors. In other words, we are overcomers through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. But the great deception in the church is regarding, I believe, is regarding salvation. It's not truly understanding what salvation is. I'd like for you to see salvation, if you will, in a different light. Not a once saved, always saved relationship with God. That's a deception. It's like I've punched my time sheet for this Sunday, and I'm good until next week. And that's really the deception in our land today. Is what we call a civil religion. It's a civil religion. I'm concerned politically, and yes, we pray for our political world. We pray for that, but I'm more concerned about that. I'm more concerned about the economy. I'm more concerned about those things than I am about knowing really who God is. But I'm going to punch my clock on Sunday, and I was in church, and I'm a Christian because I'm, you know, it's American pie, baseball, and apple pie, and church. I'm American, so I'm a Christian. It's a silver religion. It's a deception. You know, I'll go to church on Easter Sunday and Christmas Sunday, and I may go occasionally about once a quarter, and that's really all really God desires of me. But listen, that's not the church I'm talking about. The church I'm talking about is a church where we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have a relationship with our living God, and we know whom I live. I live in Him, and He is in me, and I walk in Him. He walks in me, and we have a relationship 24/7. It's not something we turn on or turn off, but we live in God all the time. We walk in God. We love Him, and yet He loves through us in a way that ministers to life around us. It's a cop-out and a deception of the enemy to think that your old life, listen, and your comfortable sin patterns and habits will lead you to a better life. The enemy will tell you, just like he told the people that Paul's writing to in Ephesus here, that maybe your old life was actually a lot more funner, and maybe it was a lot more easier. Maybe it was easier to live that way than where you're headed right now. You know, as a pastor and as a preacher of the gospel, I wouldn't do you any favors to tell you that when you read this Bible, when you come to Jesus, that your life is going to be a rose garden and things are going to be so much better and you're not going to have any problems. Hello? Matter of fact, if I did that and I preached that way, then we might just have to build other buildings because broad is that way that leads to deception, right? I'm praying that we'll have to build other buildings because people are convicted of their sin. They see the cross of Jesus Christ. They see the way of belonging and forgiveness. They see a people that love God and will love them to forgiveness and through brokenness. And then we grow because people are finding out what life really is about. Life is about dying to myself. Matter of fact, when we take communion, I remind you guys that when we take communion, you are taking communion because you're saying, Lord, I'm gonna be a part of your suffering. When you come to Christ, you are signing up to die. You're laying down your life. You're laying down who you are. And you're saying, God, it's not about me. It's about you. So for me to tell you that coming to Jesus is going to be a rose garden, then I would not do you any favors. What I will tell you is that when you come to Jesus, it's not going to be that easy. You're going to have to break through yourself. You're going to have to lay down your life. And listen, when you become that man of God, you're going to be a man's man. When you become a woman of God, you're going to be a woman's woman. Listen, you're going to be a leader for God. You're going to be the church triumphant. You're going to be the church that God can use. You're going to be the conduit that God's going to bring healing and life through. Hallelujah. We are the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So it's not easier to revert back to your old lifestyle. What are you going to gain out of that? What are you going to gain out of going back to where you came out of? It's kind of like that dog, it returns to its vomit. It's like, why would you want to even think about going back to that again? How many are thankful that God pulled you out of the muck and mire? That God set your feet on a rock to stay? That once I was blind, but now I can see. Aren't you thankful for that? Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you didn't leave me where I was at. God, you brought me out of that. And this is where Paul is saying, don't go back in your mind's eye and think that it was easier before. Just because you've got some trouble coming through right now, listen, this world that we live in right now, that's what Psalm 23 is all about. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The valley of the shadow of death is a sin all around us, the death all around us, the turmoil, the problems all around us. And so when you see these things, don't be overwhelmed or don't get anxious about it, but say, Lord, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, all the stuff going on around me, Lord, you are with me. Hallelujah. You're my shield, God. You're my rampart, Lord. You're that one that's with me, God. You will bring me through it. Psalm 91 says that he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my fortress. He is my refuge. He is the God in whom I shall trust. You don't have to fear those things around us. But it's a cop-out deception to think that our old life, our comfortable sin patterns and habits will lead us to a better life. And you know well as I do that that's only a temporary fix in this life. That's only a temporary lie. It's only a temporary comfort, if you will, in this life right now. So I know that there's things going on in our lives that maybe there's some temporary comforts. There's some things that God's not pleased with that we're working through. But I want you to know that you have a God that's bigger than your habit. You have a God that's bigger than your sin, and he can bring healing in your life. He can bring restoration. He can bring forgiveness to you. But it takes a breaking. It takes a place of laying it down. And saying, God, it's not about me. It's about what you want in my life. And it's about a surrender unto Jesus. Somebody say praise the Lord for that. A surrender. There was an 18th century circuit rider preacher by the name of John Wesley. And when he would go around preaching, he would preach about salvation. And he would preach about the way of salvation. And I love the way he would lay this out. He would say, when you come to Jesus, the first thing that happens in your life, when you make a decision to follow Jesus, and when he was preaching, he'd say, first of all, you're going to be justified. Everybody say justified. He'd say justification happens. It's like if you were in a court of law and the judge would find you not guilty, then you're not guilty. You're not going to be held liable for that that situation or that sin or that mishap. He said, you're free from that. And so when you come to Jesus, and those of you who have made a decision to follow Christ, there came that place in your decision where you said, Lord, I'm going to follow after you. I give you my life. And you were justified in that moment. That's what John Wesley would say. And then he would say, secondly, your salvation is a justification that you're released from that bondage. You're released from that fear. That'd do something for you to know that God released you of that bondage. He released you of that sin. He released you of that responsibility to carry the weight of that sin through Jesus Christ. And then he would say that you're being sanctified. You're being justified, and then you're being sanctified. He said that salvation is something that begins this when you have that moment of decision and you begin to follow after Jesus. He said then you're being sanctified. You're being changed by day, and you're coming more into conformity with Christ. And then I love this part. And then he would say the last part of this, he would say, and then you're being glorified. Everybody say glorified. You're being glorified. Because on that day when we stand before our Maker, we're going to be glorified in the presence of God. So you're being justified, you're being sanctified, and then there's a glorification that takes place in the fulfillment of that. I was talking to Ralph and Shirley this morning before service. And don't you know that we're living in the last days? Can you see it around? Can you see the times around us? We're living in the last days, and I believe this is the generation that will see the coming of the Lord. I believe we're living in these last days, and I want us to get the urgency in our heart to let people know that Jesus loves them, that there's hope for them, but we got to get it in on the inside of us first and realize that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Whatever sin we're going through, whatever habits we know that aren't pleasing to God, we've got to lay those down before a living God and say, Lord, forgive me. You are my maker. You are my savior. You are my creator. Lord, I give it to you. John Wesley would say, you're saved, you're justified, then you're sanctified, and then you're glorified. So this is a process. And so what I want us to begin to see is that salvation, listen, salvation is an ongoing thing. It's not something that I just say a prayer at one point in my life and then I'm good to go for the rest of my life. That's not really what God's will is for us. Salvation is a relationship. Hello? Salvation is a communication with God. And so you are saved. You were saved, and then you are being saved right now. And then when the Lord comes back for us, we will be saved. Can somebody say hallelujah for that? 1 Thessalonians, I love it. For it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. It says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm telling you guys, Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. I said, Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. He's coming back for you and me. He's looking for that bride that says, Lord, I'm laying down my life. It's not about me, but it's about you. So salvation and forgiveness is an ongoing process. I'm thankful this morning that I can say that we know Jesus as our Savior. Don't you know Jesus as your Savior? We know Jesus as our sanctifier. Hallelujah. We know him as our sanctifier. We know Jesus as our healer. How many know him as our healer this morning? Hallelujah. We know Jesus as our spirit baptizer. How many know him as your spirit baptizer? And we also know Jesus as our soon coming King. Our soon coming King. That's how we know our Lord. It's a fivefold relationship that we have with the Lord. So Paul is reminding the community of faith. I want you to go back in the Word in Ephesians chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 4, the first part of that. Paul is reminding the community of faith, and he's reminding you and me this morning. He says, listen, guys, verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Holy and blameless in his sight. He chose us. In other words, he said, when you come to Christ, it says, in him we have, in verse 7, it says, in him we have redemption. Everybody say redemption. Through his blood. We have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. The first thing I want you to know what Paul is saying to us is, I am forgiven. I'm forgiven. Whatever sin, whatever encumbered my life, whatever overtook my life in the undoneness, the unrighteousness, if you will, of my life, there's no way that I could have made that right in my own way. There's no way that I could have cleaned my own act up. There's no way I could get polished up enough to... you know, I've talked to people about coming to church, and they'll say, well, if I only had the right clothes to wear, if I had the right shoes, if I could just clean up a little bit. And I think some of that is, maybe that's kind of American needs, if you will. I don't know what it is in our society. How many ever been on a missions trip before? You go to other parts of the world, man, they got cement block walls and patio chairs and no air conditioner, and they just come however they can come, and they're loving Jesus with all their heart. They're pouring all they got into God. I don't know, in America we have this different context where we've got to clean our act up before we get to church. I don't know about you, but when I came to church, I just came just like I was without one plea, but that his blood was shed for me and I gave my heart to Jesus just like I was. I don't have to clean myself up before I come to God. God doesn't want you to clean yourself up before you come to him. But we are forgiven. We are forgiven. Amen? Just say that to the Lord. Lord, thank you that I am forgiven. I am forgiven of my sin. If I took my sin, if you took your sins and your mishaps, your failures, where you missed the mark, and you wrote them all down, I wonder how high would your stack be? How high would your stack be? Would this room be able to contain the list of sins, a list of things you know aren't pleasing to God, the things that you just aren't proud of? How high would your stack be? Aren't you thankful that one drop of Jesus' blood annihilates that stack? Annihilates that. I am forgiven. Paul says, remember. Remember the love of Christ. Remember the death of Jesus. Remember his resurrection. You are forgiven. Through the redemption of his blood, he says. Through the redemption of his blood, through the forgiveness of your sins, in accordance with the richness of God's grace. I love that he says, you are forgiven because of that blood of Jesus. John the Revelator reminded us there. In chapter 12, verse 11, he says, you overcome by the blood. Everybody say the blood. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You have overcome. In other words, don't carry your sin any longer. Don't carry your failures any longer. You know who you are this morning. Maybe you carry a weight of guilt in your head. Maybe you carry a weight of guilt in your heart because you wronged somebody, or you just did something you know was disappointed God, or you disappointed somebody in your life. Listen, you've got to come to a place you say, Lord, I give it to you. I lay it down at the foot of your altar. I repent of my sins, meaning I make a turn. I turn away from my sins. I walk away from that, and I leave it with you, Lord. And I repent. I move forward, and now I am born again, and I am forgiven. The Bible says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm forgiven. I love this too. And Paul moves on in the second part of chapter 1, verse 4. It says, For he chose us in him from before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. Holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption and sonship through Jesus Christ our Lord. I love what he says here, because he is saying, in love, in my forgiveness, in my relationship now with God, I am adopted. Everybody say, I'm adopted. I am adopted. Not only am I forgiven, but now I am adopted. Now I'm at a place of where God somehow he's pleased enough with me that he's adopted me unto himself. Let me share with you the difference between what mercy would be and what grace would be, between mercy and grace. If you were to come home from vacation and you found your house had been broken into, and I pray that this never happened to you before, but you come home from vacation and your house has been ransacked, it's been broken into, and so you call the police and you say, somebody's broken into my house. I want to file a claim here. I want to let you know we need some help here. And so the police, they come to your house. They see that it's been broken into. And so they make this all-out search for who that person was that broke into your home. Well, that week afterwards, you get a phone call from the police department. They say, sir, we found the young man that broke into your house. Matter of fact, we got him down at the station right now. And if you want to come down and take care of this, and matter of fact, we found all your stuff. All your stuff is still good. There's nothing broken. And so in your heart of hearts, this is a young man, and they begin to tell you that this young man is from a broken home. He's a homeless young man, and he was just desperate, got into your house. And so out of your heart, you say, you know what? since I got all my stuff back and nothing's broken, then I'm going to forgive that young man. And that, so that is mercy. I'm showing mercy to someone. I'm forgiving them for the wrong they did to me. Everybody say mercy. Mercy. Now here's the thing about grace. And everybody say amazing grace. That's why grace is so amazing. Here's the thing about grace. This is what I love. So you go down to the police station, you identify the young man, and you see all the stuff that, everything that you got back, and everything's good. And here's this young man. And the police begin to share with you that we don't really know what to do with him. You're not going to press charges, I know, and so we're thankful for that, or I'm sure he's going to be thankful for that. But we're not sure what to do with him. We can't put him back on the street. We'll probably take him to the juvenile center, that kind of thing. And so in your heart, you begin to say, you know what? Not only am I going to forgive the young man, but my wife and I have decided we're going to take that young man home with us. We're going to adopt him. Now watch this. This is grace, not mercy. This is grace. Not only are we going to adopt him, but all the things he stole from us are now going to become his. Because he's part of our family, he's heirs to what we have. What we have is his. And that's exactly what God's amazing grace is all about. Do you hear me this morning? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. So we are adopted, and what is God's becomes ours. We are his and he is ours. We are adopted. Think about that for a moment. So I am forgiven. I am adopted. Aren't you thankful you're adopted? The word tells us in John 1:12, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gives the power to be called who? Sons and daughters of God. So because of that, you're a son and you're a daughter of God. Look at your neighbor and say, you're his. You're his. And that's what Paul's reminding us the last part of this today. He's reminding us of this. He says, understand sonship. You are in him and he is in you. We are his. We are forgiven and we are adopted. And then watch this. I love this. In Ephesians 1, go back with me in 6, chapter, verse 6. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, I love this, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the richness of God's grace that he lavished on us. Everybody say lavished. When you look up the word lavish, it means extravagant. It means I'm not holding anything back. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to give it the best. I'm going to have the biggest party. We're going to celebrate the finest foods. We're going to have a time together. I'm going to lavish everything I have. I think of this, the father with the prodigal son when he came back home. He lavished on him. He gave him his best. He put that ring on his finger and a robe around him and said, we're going to have a party because once my son was lost, but now he is found. And so when you come to Jesus, those of you who are watching online as well, listen to me. When you come to Jesus, you are forgiven. You are adopted. And you become his. So much so that his glorious grace is lavished on you. Listen, you're not an afterthought. You're not just a happen chance. You're not just, listen, God chose you, Paul is saying. Don't revert back to your old life. Don't give up on God. Don't stay on the fence. Don't play church 1 foot in and 1 foot out. Listen, the times are desperate. God wants to use the church to be the conduit to heal humanity, to heal the city, to bring hope and life to those who are hopeless, those who are destitute, those who are unrighteous. God wants to use you and me, the church, to speak life to them. But we've got to remember who we are. The Apostle Paul said, listen, you are forgiven. You are a son and daughter of God. And he says, and so much so that God celebrates you. God celebrates you. He wants to be with you. He lavishes himself and his grace on you. Listen to me. He celebrates you. You are his. And he said, I have placed my son's seal on your heart. And yet we'll go back and forth and we'll play these games with God and we'll dabble in sin and we'll do these things and we'll do this and we'll come back in church and we'll go back and do our thing. Listen, you can't continue to be that way, the Lord says. You've got to be in one or out or be in the other. He saw the church of Laodicea. He says, you are lukewarm. You're not fit for any help for anywhere. He says, because of that, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. I wish I could paint a rose garden for you and tell you that, you know what? We serve a God who's not going to send anybody to a hell. Matter of fact, there's a theology out there. It started just a few years ago that there's no hell. How many believe there's a heaven? It's in the Word. How many believe there's a hell? There's descriptions of what heaven's going to be. There's also descriptions of what hell's going to be like. We see descriptions of hell. We see there's gnashing and gnawing. There's the lake of fire. And these guys are doing a great job portraying that. But the cheapest thing about hell is it is eternal separation from God, your Creator. Matter of fact, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was crying out, and there was blood, tears, he's sweating blood. And he's saying, Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Listen, our Jesus wasn't afraid of dying for us. Matter of fact, he willingly laid down his life. That's not what he was afraid of. His fear was eternal separation from his Maker, from his Father. In his naturalness, in his humanness, he was saying, God, I do not want to be separated from you. That's eternal hell, to be separated from our Maker. That's the separation that Jesus does not want, and that's the separation that God has not intended for you and I. But I'm not going to do you any favors by telling you that God's not going to send anybody to hell, because we see in the Word. Matter of fact, I was reading through the prophet Jeremiah this week and reminded that when Jeremiah was prophesying over the children of Israel, time and time and time again, he was giving warnings after warnings after warnings. He was saying that if you're not going to be for God, then God's going to have his way with you. And there's going to, because we serve a just God. I love what my wife says. She says, God has a long arm of grace. And I believe that with all my heart. And I love that she sees people that way. And she sees the mercy and the grace of God. And aren't you thankful his mercies are new every morning? His grace is sufficient. And I want to hold out hope for every living person that I know that they'll come to Christ. But the beautiful thing about God also is that he gives us free will. He doesn't make us serve him. What good would that be for him to make us serve him? It gives us free will. It's because of that, Paul would say in Romans, he said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, he said, all have sinned. So we come into this world, we're in sin. And then he says in chapter 6, verse 20, he says, the wages of that sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He says in Revelation 3:23, he says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. And if any man open the door of his heart, I will come in and I will get to know him and he will get to know me. He says the way you get there is what Paul was saying in Romans. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, Romans 10:9-10, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. What does it say? Then you will be saved. You'll be saved. Saved. Salvation comes from confessing with my mouth and believing my heart that Jesus is Lord. So every head bowed and every eye closed, and those watching online, if you'll pray with me right now, I'm going to ask for men to be men and women to be women of God right now. And I'm praying over these next few weeks that if you have a sin issue in your life, if you have something that you know that is not pleasing to God, I'm praying that God will break that in the name of Jesus. And he can do it right now. But it's got to take your willingness to humble yourself before a living God and say, Lord, I'm nothing without you. Maybe you're watching online. You happen to find us online. And listen, if you don't know Jesus Christ, now the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Right now. Not another time, not another moment, but right now. The Holy Spirit's drawing you to this place in this moment in time right now. And I'm going to lead us in a prayer. And I'm going to ask that all of us in this room pray it. In the balcony, everybody across this room and across watching online as well, I want you to pray this prayer with us so that we can be the church God wants to use. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would do a work that only you can do, Lord. Lord, I've preached your word. I've given the scriptures, Lord. We thank you for the example that Paul gives us this morning. So now, Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would quicken our hearts, Lord, to this word right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, that we are forgiven, that we are adopted. Lord, that we are yours, and you celebrate that, God. You love us so much. You love us so much, Lord. You don't want us to be in this place of sin. You don't want us to be in this place of deception, this place of just living life day to day with no true purpose. Lord, you have a higher purpose for us, Lord. So, Lord, I pray now that we would humble ourselves before you. No one looking around. You guys be praying right now. I wonder how many in the room, you say, Pastor Steve, there's something in my life I know God's not pleased with, and I need you to pray for me. I want to give that to God at this moment right now. It's something I just need to give to God. I'm tired of dealing with it. I'm tired of carrying the weight of it, and I want to lay it at his feet this morning. If that's you, I want to pray for you. Say, Pastor Steve, pray for me this week, if you will. Slip up your hand and back down. I want to see who you are. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for being honest before God. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, sir. Thank you. Yes, sir. In the back of the balcony, I see you. Yes, I see that hand up in the balcony. Two hands up there. Thank you for that. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for your honesty. Anybody else on the main floor here? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Something I know God, I just need to turn over to God right now. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thanks for being honest. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. Hallelujah. Yes, young man, young woman, thank you for being honest this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I need to lay this down before Jesus. I need to lay it at his feet this morning. Anybody else before we move forward here? Hallelujah. Many hands. Anybody else? I want to pray for you this week. I need to lay something down before the feet of Jesus today. I want to give it to him. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Yes, ma'am, thank you very much for being honest before God. I need Jesus, because I know he's greater than this. He's greater than my problem. He's greater than my sin. I'm going to lay it down before him. I need some help here. Yes, sir. Thank you, young man. God sees you, that those of you who raise your hands, God sees you, and he is very pleased with your obedience this morning. And we're going to pray a prayer. I'm going to pray for you right now. I can't pray it for you. You've got to pray it, but I'm going to lead you in it. If you raise your hand, I want you to pray this prayer. And I'm going to ask others to pray with us. And we all pray it out aloud. We're going to help one another, okay? Say, Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that this in my life is not pleasing to you. And I ask right now that you'd forgive me of my sin. I lay it down at your feet. And when I leave this moment, I will not pick it back up. For I give it to you, Lord Jesus. I ask that you'd forgive me of all of my sins, that you would come into my life and be my Lord, and be my Savior. And I'll follow you hard all the days of my life from this moment forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I want you to stand on your feet, and I want you to begin to worship him and thank him for the forgiveness of your sins, that I am forgiven, that I am adopted, and that I am yours, O Lord. And I give it to you right now, God. Hands lifted high, hearts crying out to God. Lord, we thank you right now. For forgiveness of sins, Lord, for adoption, oh God, that we are yours, oh Lord. And God, we give you these matters today, God. And I pray for these young people. I pray, Lord, for my sister, my brother, God, all those hands that went up this morning. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that they would realize that the authority they have in you, God, the walk they have in you, Lord Jesus, that you have made them new, God, that you give them the tools they need, Lord, to live in you, God. I pray your Holy Spirit, God, would fill them, Lord Jesus, to overflowing, oh Lord God. And God, they would realize the celebration that's going on right now, Father, that you're celebrating them, Lord, for your glory, for your honor, God. and your glorious grace, oh Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, for the honesty of that heart. And I pray, God, that they would see the severity, God, of this moment that we live in now. And I thank you, Lord God, that they would be quick to know you, Lord. Read your word, God, and stay in church, Lord, and worship you, God. I thank you for that. Can we just give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now in the name of Jesus? Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Everybody say it with me. I am an overcomer. Through his blood and by the word of my testimony. Look at your neighbor. You are an overcomer in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise one more time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Listen, if you're watching online and you pray with us, we'd love to know about that. Send us an email or give us a call at the church. We'd love to continue to follow up with you and see all that God has for you. And we can help you do that. We want to help you all we can.